Welcome to episode 46 of Not Another Podcast, where I navigate life with the help of some friends. I'm Billy, glad to have you along. This episode is a different one. It's an episode I didn't think I would have to do. It's an episode I want to do, and I didn't think I'd have to put it out so quickly. I think with how things have gone over the last few days, it's been literally 100 miles an hour within this, what we're going to talk about. So I'm joined by my head of creative, my friend Dan Probert. We're going to have a little chat about the formation and the current disbanding of the European Super League. So Dan, firstly, welcome on. How are you? How's it going?
I'm good, mate. How are you? How are you doing? You all right?
Not bad. Come back in from basically standing on an AstroTurf, and I didn't really need to be there. Chucking a bit of banter with the guys at work. But now I'm forehead is on fire. The old sunburn has got me. But been trying to catch up with the news. But for those who don't know, what I wanted to do today with this episode is, I was looking to talk about the European Super League that had been formed over the weekend and at the start of this week. So on Sunday, the announcement came that 12 of Europe's biggest clubs had come together to form this Super League to really, basically, in the easiest way possible, for the owners of these clubs to make an absolute fortune off of the marketability and the competitiveness, apparently, of these clubs facing each other in this league, which then meant that the Premier League, UEFA, all these different areas and other clubs were like massively against it. It caused a massive, massive uproar. To then now, as of literally an hour ago, clubs that were meant to be playing in this league have started to leave as a result of protests and the controversy. Club chairmen from these different clubs have started to leave. I wanted to do an episode based on my thoughts of what's been happening and just different things to think about. And also now with the breaking news, it's become a bit like Sky Sports News over here. Basically, we'd be reacting a little bit to the news as it comes in for the moment. But what I wanted to know, because we got Dan here as well, and I think we've been chatting about it over the weekend in terms of what's been going on. But firstly, I wanted to, before hearing the news as of the last hour, what were your thoughts when the Super League was announced? Because I know you just saw your change of expression. I was like, yeah, you seemed not too happy about it, as a lot of people were.
Yeah, mate. Absolutely ridiculous. The whole thing. And it's so easy to say that. This is the thing. It's so easy to be critical, but I don't know who in their right mind thinks this is a good idea. You know, like, I understand from a business perspective. I understand we can get into that. There's so many avenues we could go down that we would be here recording a 6-hour podcast. But from an absolute position of sport and integrity and just, I mean, how can you create a league and not even consult the managers and the players and the people who work within your organization? I mean, it's absolutely like unheard of. Like, it really is. So for me, my initial thoughts when I heard about it months ago were no thank you. When I heard about it, I got a whisper about it on Sunday midday, and I sort of brushed it off. I thought it was a bit of an unreliable source, think nothing of it. And then it started to come out when Man United were playing, and then Gary Neville started to talk about it, and I thought, wow, this is bad. So yeah, mate, it was pretty negative. But straight away I was like, I felt so passionate about it, and I just thought, you know what, we've got to do something, we've got to make a change, we've got to affect this. This cannot happen, basically.
Mate, it was literally, I remember watching the Man United Burnley game as it was happening on Super Sunday. They say during the broadcast or during the commentary of the game, oh yeah, by the way, this new Super League's being announced with six of the top six in England, top three in Spain, top three in Italy. And then seeing Gary Neville just literally being like, this is absolutely outrageous. And thinking, like you said, I heard inklings of it months ago when they kind of mentioned the rumour mill, oh yeah, they're looking to set up this Super League. And then I was like, well, I'm not sure. I don't know how I feel about it. But then as it come to fruition, I know that it seemed like these clubs were like, yep, yeah, we're in, let's go. And then they decided to announce it. And everyone was like, what the hell is going on here? Because as much as some people who probably don't follow football probably don't see it as a big deal, they don't see it as a... They say, it's just teams breaking away and forming their own league. What's the issue? But when you have 12 of the most marketable and highly supported teams and richest teams in the world breaking away from their leagues, which they, to be fair, probably make... They generate probably most of the income from the leagues they're in, especially the teams like Man United, Man City, Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool, Spurs in the Premier League. They decide, oh, you know what? Yeah, we're going to go play for bigger money elsewhere against the other bigger teams. The knock-on effects of that, when you start thinking about it, are huge. And like you mentioned about the... It seemed like this was very much the owners getting together rather than managers and players going, oh, you know what? These are the ideas we've got. We're looking to break away. What are your thoughts? It seemed very much like owners were going, right, we're doing this. Like it or lump it. And but yeah, I think it's just mad. As you've been talking, I've just been looking through. I've got Sky Sports News open, literally just waiting for the next announcement to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sat here as well, mate, and I've got a few things open. I think it's important to say as well, because people are going to listen to this at different times, that we're recording this. We could have recorded this 3 hours ago, and our whole narrative would be completely different.
Oh, big time.
It still is, you know, we've still got a similar narrative, but just to put it out there, Ed Woodward has just resigned from Manchester United. That is, mate, there's so many angles we could talk about here. And obviously, and I think one thing I should actually point out here as well for people listening is I'm a Man United fan. You're not a fan of any of these teams. So, you know, I think maybe we have similar thoughts, but maybe different angles to come from. I don't like Ed Woodward for Man United reasons as well as ESL reasons, so it's important to put that out there. But, you know, Ed Woodward just resigned, talking about the Juventus chairman resigning. It's all falling down, mate. It's all falling down.
This is a completely different episode to the one I had planned in my head. I was thinking going in with this, it seemed set in stone. It seemed like it was just going to happen. I was ready to come on and talk about, because I was going to call this Greed or Genius. Got on the Highland Springs. But yeah. But I was going to call this episode Greed or Genius. And the reason I was going to do that was I was trying to think, one, from how ridiculous an idea it is in the grand scheme of football and sport, really, in that sense. But I was also trying to think of it for why these people think it's a good idea. And I was trying to think whether the idea of getting all the teams together and the amount of money on the table that they were talking about, I was thinking to try and play the devil's advocate a little bit and think, wow, this is a, in terms of the billionaire owners, it was a genius move to go, right, we're going to get all the biggest and richest teams from around the world into our little poxy league. We're gonna get together. We're gonna give them an incentive. We're gonna get these big companies to come in and be our sponsors and to have the massive exposure with all the best players in the world and make an absolute fortune. But again, like I said, the grand scheme of it is it would kill football. It would absolutely kill football from the Premier League. The lower leagues would be an absolute write-off in a few years. There'll be nothing. The competitive element of the game we love would have really become obsolete for at least 10-15 years, in my opinion. But like I said, this is a, now that they've decided to disband it, and the people, because of the uproar, teams are starting to drop out. It's now a completely different episode to what I had planned in my head.
Yeah, I mean, just to say, just I think one thing that is important to say is I don't think anybody has actually come out to say it's going to be disbanded. I think from what I understand, and I know you've literally just been working, so I don't know how fully up to date you are. I mean, I'm not necessarily fully up to date either, but from what I understand, Chelsea are going to pull out, Man City are going to pull out, and literally as that was happening, as I heard that, I heard Barcelona and Atletico Madrid were pulling out. I've heard that Barcelona, again, I don't know how true this information is, but Barcelona basically apparently had a get-out clause put in their contract, supposedly, that sort of made the new president kind of not culpable. He could get out if he needed to. Again, I don't really know the ins and outs of it. Next thing I hear, Ed Woodward has resigned. Let's just be clear about, like, for me as a Man United fan, I've wanted that for 6 years. I've wanted that for 7 years since David Gill left. You know, I've not wanted Man United, Ed Woodward in control of this club. So it cannot be understated how big of a thing that is. Ed Woodward has been pushed out of Manchester United, and I don't want to make this about Man United. Well, I do obviously want to make it about Man United, but not just about Man United. But people have tried to get him out, and he has stood stubborn. He's been part of Manchester United for 15 years. He's got security at his house because the fans cannot stand him. And for this to be the thing to make him move, less than 48 hours after they've announced it, I think shows that he's massively misjudged things. And I think they all have.
Big time.
So, yeah.
But I've been thinking about this last few days, and going into it, whether it still goes ahead with just different teams, or whether they decide to just completely like bin it all off because of the backlash. I just look in here, Man United, apparently their share price on the stock market has dropped by like 6% in the last however 8 hours. It's dropped from what, $17.50 whatever, to $16.12, which probably doesn't sound like a whole lot, but dropping 6% in and their shares on the old stock market is
that doesn't sound, that probably doesn't sound like a lot until you realise that some of the shareholders probably hold
millions
millions, exactly, and then all of a sudden every dollar in, you know, that counts for something. So yeah, that is a big hit.
But I think one thing with this Super League, as it was announced, for those who aren't too aware of it, because I put a story out today saying I was going to do an episode like this week, and if it wasn't your cup of tea, like, no worries, because I know it's not going to be everyone's. But for those who are interested or want to kind of know what the big deal is, as the Super League was announced, they wanted to do it, I believe it was alongside their domestic competition. So for example, let's say Man United as an example, they wanted to still play in the Premier League and still be in other competitions, but be in this league alongside it. And where it becomes controversial is the amount of money that's being talked about within this league, and then these teams that are invited in, so it's not like you can qualify really, these teams are invited to play in this league, and it's just a bit of a jolly up to then earn hundreds of millions of pounds to then come back to the league they're in and have this massive advantage over every other team who haven't had the privilege of earning the money that's on the table in the Super League. But then one thing I found really interesting was the Premier League, was UEFA, was all these different federations saying, okay, if your team wants to go in the Super League, that's fine, but the players involved are banned from our league. They're banned from playing international football. They're completely exiled. If you want to go do it, you crack on. We'll wipe your hands with you lot. You can't come back. And I think that's where we've been speaking about it. I think I've been playing devil's advocate with you over the last couple of days. That's where the game of morals almost comes in, and this becomes a bit of a moral debate where you don't really have to be necessarily a football fanatic to resonate and to feel some type of way about the situation, because I think this has now become a bit of a game of morals. And luckily, as of now, two teams have decided to think morally and think with a bit of heart, to think, you know what, we don't want anything to do with this.
Yeah, I should just add in there, like, definitely from my perspective, not everyone will be like this, but even if this and I would have said this 3 hours ago, and I've been saying this for anyone that's spoken to me for the last few days, even if this doesn't go ahead, every single team that was part of it, that was privy to it, maybe not the team, it's really difficult here. We've got to distinguish who's done this, and to put the whole of Chelsea, the whole of Real Madrid, the whole of Barcelona culpable for the actions of their owners is not fair. But you've got to hold the people who have tried to make this happen culpable, even if it doesn't happen. And for me, Chelsea want to leave, Man City want to leave, fine, leave. But you're still going to come down and you're still going to get brought down, definitely in my eyes, with the rest of them, because you tried to make it happen. And it's not just the fact that they tried to make it happen, which you know, the league is flawed, in my opinion, and I think in the opinion of many, in so many ways, but it's 100%. The way it's been done. It's the way. It's the sneakiness. No one knew. You've got Ole Gunnar Solskjaer going to manage a team on Sunday. Ed Woodward, the day before, signed his contract and not told him. And he's told him, you know, it's going to come out later on today, and you've got to face the media, and it's a joke. It's an absolute joke. So even if this doesn't, what I'm trying to say is, even if this doesn't happen, and even if all the teams bottle it, even if all the teams want to leave and apologise, fine. But I will not be satisfied until every person who tried to make this happen is Sepp Blatter style banned from football.
I think this is, I was listening to TalkSport on the way home, and I was a bit conflicted. I was glad that teams are starting to see sense and deciding to step away, but I was listening to supporters talk about it, and they were going, oh, how do you feel that Chelsea have decided to withdraw from this league? Oh, I'm over the moon. I'm so proud of my club. Buddy, 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 blah. But 26 hours ago, these people with the work, I don't want anything to do with this club anymore. I don't want anything to do with it. And now all of a sudden, because they've made the right decision, they've gone, oh, I love you again. Oh, you're brilliant. You're such a great club. Glad you've seen sense. But for me, my thinking with it was, I was thinking, but they are still a part of something as, we'll call it evil, because in terms of the grand scheme, it's ready to destroy the game. You were part of it. You were part of the team that put this together. You were invited into it. You accepted the invitation. You knew the consequences going into it. And now you've stepped away. You almost want the plaudits of, oh, you know what? We've done the right thing. But I understand you understand the backlash might be, I didn't think the backlash would be this strong. I didn't think people would be so up in arms about it. I get that. But like you said, Dan, I think they've still got to feel the consequences, even if you've come out of it. You've made your bed. That's where I'm like,
100%.
I just think you've made your bed by wanting to enter and being a part of it anyway. Now you think, oh, cool, you know what? I don't fancy it. It's a bit, can't handle the heat almost. I'm stepping out. It's like you're going, like, let's say these 12 owners have gone to rob a bank, right? And Man City and Chelsea owners are the two that are guarding the door waiting for the police to come. And as soon as the police rock up, they're the first two running away. Oh, I'm not involved. But you're still part of the job to rob the bank.
Yeah, and I mean one thing that I should, or that is worth pointing out here to anybody listening that maybe doesn't know the full ins and outs of it, it is my understanding that this isn't just 12 clubs that have had a chat about an idea. These papers were signed, sealed, delivered, 23-year deal for every single team to participate in this. This was done, this was agreed, there was no consultation with fans, no consultation with staff, no consultation with managers, no consultation with sponsors, no consultation with the media, no consultation with anyone. It was a group of rich people who thought, do you know what? Football fans will always support the club, because football is different. When I was I studied international football business at university, and when one thing that was always said to us is football is different as a business because people are emotionally attached to it, and people will always buy into the product because of that. You're not emotionally attached to Tesco, you know. You don't go to Tesco because you're emotionally attached to it. You go to Tesco because you need to eat. Football fans are emotionally attached to the product, and these people basically thought, we can make money out of that attachment, we can make money out of their love, out of their passion, because it's guaranteed, because these people stand by these clubs, because they always do, and a lot of people probably would have done, but it couldn't be allowed to happen in the way it was proposed. And just to be clear, I'm not against football progressing, competitions improving. That's not what this is about. This is not about wanting things to stay stagnant and get old. This is about what makes our game in this country, in this continent, brilliant. And the fact that you can get relegated, that anyone, that Lincoln can go on a run in the FA Cup when they're in the non-league and play Arsenal and nearly beat Arsenal. I think they lost 1-0, you know. That could never happen in the same way that it would happen if we had the ESL, because teams wouldn't put as much interest in the FA Cup.
Yeah.
You know, Leicester winning the league 5,000-1. Leicester were 7 games from getting relegated. They were stone dead bottom of the league. They stayed up by the skin of their teeth, and then the next year they won the league.
Yeah.
And it can't be. That cannot be underestimated. And if that had happened in ESL time, what would they have got for it? Nothing. They would have won a league where the main clubs aren't playing their best teams. And they would have not had any Champions League reward. They wouldn't have had it. Well, they would have had Champions League reward, but it wouldn't have been as prestigious because
that's the thing. Like, if they're all the best, because the best players, then the best teams will be where the money is, or mainly the best players. And I think with this Super League, if this was in place, those situations, as special and as memorable as they are, and how much novelty people kind of hold on to those moments in football, you don't get them to that extent. It doesn't mean as much when they're not the best, when they've not gone and beaten the best teams, they've overcome the weak teams, have overcome the strong teams to show that they're the best around. It doesn't happen if, for example, Leicester are beating Newcastle, Burnley, Brighton, Brentford, Reading, and going and beating them to win the league. It's like, well done, brilliant, you're cool, but it's just not the same as going and playing Manchester United or going and beating Manchester City away from home. And I think then even with the Super League, like, because it's all invite only, what if like once it, let's say they all do it, let's say the first season happens, but Barcelona win the league, what now? Second season, okay, no one's got relegated, one team wins the league, okay, next season Real Madrid win it, okay, well done. Fantastic. The novelty for me would soon wear off after maybe a season. I find everyone would be like, yeah, you know what? It's all well and good, brilliant, but what's next? There's no caveat keeping people to it, apart from you might see the best players play the best players all the time. But doesn't the Champions League do that? Doesn't?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. And I think you need to bring the Champions League into this because the Champions League is basically they're basically trying to recreate the Champions League in an exclusive way, in an exclusive club, in a different kind of way. And I think it's important to say that the Champions League is not perfect. UEFA are not perfect and FIFA are not perfect, and nobody here, and the FA are not perfect, by the way, and nobody here is trying to say they are. You know, I'm not saying that the game is you know, it can't be held to account for things that have happened in the past, and it can't be changed and improved, because it can be. But what I am saying is doing it the way that they're trying to do it and trying to sell it to people that it's for the benefit of everyone, it's for the benefit of football, is an absolute joke. It is for the benefit of people's pockets. And the fact that you've got Ed Woodward, who, I've got to talk about Ed Woodward because I'm a Man United fan, I know more about him. He's an investment banker. He knows nothing about the club. He's absolutely, commercially, he's done bits for United. But, you know, I think the first season, you know, when Fergie left, and we could have signed anyone, and we signed Marouane Fellaini on the last day. And you just knew from then it was just going to be a disaster, and it has been. Sticking to his guns about Jadon Sancho, you know, Dortmund said since day dot that what they wanted for him, they thought we were getting cheap, and what do we end up with? Edison Cavani, Amad Diallo, and Pellistri. I wasn't going to swear, by the way, if you thought I was going to swear there. And Pellistri. And I'm not saying that these things, you know, Cavani's turned out to be a brilliant signing, but it's through... He wasn't what we went out for. If we went out for Edison Cavani and we signed Edison Cavani, then you applaud it. But Edison Cavani was probably the fifth choice on the list. We wanted Ousmane Dembele at one point. We wanted Jadon Sancho. And the point I'm getting at here is, this is the man that was going to head up European football. Are you winding me up? Ed Woodward. He's a joke. He works for JP Morgan. This was funded by, or going to be funded by JP Morgan, by the way. And he works for them. He's I don't know if I can swear on here, but he's the Glazers bitch. And he basically done... He basically just sorted them out financially, and thought we can make more here. And it's been fed by greed, and they thought they were going to get away with it. And lo and behold, it is less than 48 hours and the whole thing's falling apart. And I've never been prouder of football in this country than I am right now.
This is where I think it's... Yeah, they always... the Real Madrid president, who's basically the chairman of this new league, has tried to say this is going to save football. This is going to be the new... This is going to bring more money to the game. This is going to benefit everyone. If it's going to benefit everyone, why are only 12 clubs invited? Why are only these clubs invited? And if they're invited, they're making £400 million just for accepting the invite. And from what I've heard, they're looking at making £3.5 billion across however many years. If it's going to benefit everyone, why on earth? Why has it been strangled there? Why has it been strangled within these clubs? Why can't it be, right, these clubs are going to get together. We're going to look at, the owners are going to get together. Right, how can we improve the Champions League? How can we improve our domestic leagues to make them more competitive? How can we? But they don't give a fuck about the other clubs in the league. I've heard one of the board members from one of these clubs, I didn't say who, was like, our primary focus is revenue and growth. The nature of the game and the goodwill of the game is a secondary outcome. But the primary outcome is because you've got people who aren't football people running these clubs and being a part of these clubs and these organisations and these boards. That's where the underlying root of it is. You've got people who don't know football. You've got people who see Liverpool as a pound sign. You see people who see Man United and try and say, oh, look, here we go, let's try and give ourselves a nice hefty bonus this year by bringing in some amazing sponsorship deal. The European Super League's coming up. What's that, 400 million in our pocket? Go on then. What about the rest of the league? Nah, don't worry about it. It's fine. Don't worry about them. We're making 400 million just for signing on the dotted line. But what I wanted to think about, and I wanted to mention it here just while it's still fresh in my mind, like we were saying, let's say it goes through. The players now. What a difficult situation the players find themselves in. They find themselves in a situation where they can make life-changing and generational-changing money from being involved in a league which is throwing about billions and billions of pounds just for being part of it. And now, although we said this, and I agree with you when you said morally they shouldn't want to be a part of it because of the long-lasting legacy. They're always going to be known as these people who ruined football, which I understand completely. But for those listening, just as a bit of a the other side, put yourself in their position. You are a 27, 28-year-old footballer. You've got probably 4 or 5 years left at the top level. You're earning 50 grand a week. Let's say £1 million a year, which is a lot of money, obviously, but in the grand scheme of football, it's like standard rate for a top professional footballer. Club comes in, Man United say, okay, we want you to stay as a part of the Super League. We're offering you £10 million a year to play in the Super League. I think, and I agree, morally, you should go, oh, you know what? Nah, some things are bigger than money. But this is serious. This is high stakes. This is serious, serious money that's being thrown around. And this is where, if this prolongs, and if it does prolong, or if it kind of halts here, if it did go further, that is something, as a player, you'd think, core, you know what? It's hard. This is difficult to turn down.
Billy, I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to host a talk show, and you're trying to host a podcast, and you're trying to, you know, you're trying to play that devil's advocate role. And fair enough, I get it. I had a bit of a Twitter row with some numpty earlier, who basically was saying the same thing, and I understand where you're coming from, and I understand that I cannot be naive in that football is a business. You know, football is about making money to an extent,
and it's a very short career. That's one thing to remember.
I'm not against that at all, but these players do not make small amounts of money as it is, right? They're not at the level we're talking, not at the clubs we're talking about. We could talk about the League One, League Two. We could talk about that for. We could literally be here debating all aspects of this for hours. And the clubs we're talking about, these people are on big money. How much more money do you need? That is basically what is feeding the issue of this at the top. And for me, it's very easy for me to say when the money's not being flashed in front of me, and I get what you're saying. It is life-changing money. But if you invest the money that they should be earning wisely, they should be set for life. No doubt about it. They should be set.
This is this could be a whole nother conversation about footballers and in the help, the financial help they get, which, to be fair, is now improving, but it was never a thing before. I think it's sort of minimal thing now, but I think definitely in terms of you should think that they have enough, and they'll think they have enough, but this is what's, yeah, like you said, this is what's stemming the problem. This is what's started it, is people have seen an avenue for more. And I remember if you've ever seen Scarface, they always go, first you get the money, and then you get the power, and when you get the power, you get the respect. But kind of cut that half a bit, you get the money, when people have more money, what do they want to do? They go, want to go make more. When you have more money, you get more power, and these people are looking to monopolize football, the most popular sport in the world, one of the most commercial sports in the world. They want to have a monopoly over the top of the game. They want to be in that percent, the 1% of the 1%. They want to be there thinking, you know what, we can make ourselves billions of pounds a year by monopolizing these 12 clubs and bringing them together. We think, you know what, we'll each take a cut of the pie. We are in control of the top of the game. And if you're in control of the top of the game, you're in control of the whole game, really. Because with the money that will be lacking in the other areas, they'll soon die off, because that's what will happen. If there's no money in the game, it will just die away, or it'll become less significant. But I just think, and I think as a player, you'd hope, and it seems like, to be fair, players are like, no, we don't want any part of it. We don't, which is... Okay.
One thing I was just going to say, I should just add there is, you said these people want to control the game. They don't want to control the game. They don't want to control the game. They're not worried about the game. They don't care about the game. They don't care about football. I bet they don't even. I bet the Man United owners don't even know half the history of the club. I bet Stan Kroenke hasn't got Scooby-Doo about the history of Arsenal. I bet, you know. Well, maybe I can't DM that, but you know.
When I say the game, I mean they want to control what football has become, and it's become a hugely profiting sport.
The money, the media, the rights.
Yeah. If you can control the money coming into football, and you can control where it goes, you can control. Let's say, like, for example, the example I can think of is DAZN, the streaming service that does the boxing. They were ready, like, cash in pocket to put £3.5 billion on the table to have exclusive streaming rights. £3.5 billion. It's not like 20 quid behind the sofa. I'll put 20 quid on and you see how it goes. They were ready. I heard Facebook were ready for it. Disney were ready to stream it. I heard all these are like huge, huge companies ready to, as a result of these 12 owners getting together and thinking, "Cool, you know what, this will be an absolute, we'll make wheelbarrows for the cash doing this." But I think, and then, like you said, the players and the managers are put in such a difficult position, because you're risking future employment for one, but on the side of that is you can make absolute life-changing amounts of money if that's your motivation. But then on the same time, if you step away from that, what's the certainty you're going to find earnings of what you've been making? For example, if it carried on and you decide, "I'm not a part of it, I'm going to go play for Newcastle," you're not going to make £300,000 a week at Newcastle, and it becomes a different game. But again, like we said, it's a shit ton of money. £50,000 a week is a lot of money. It's like however much a year, £2 million a year, £3 million, something like that. But I tell you what, what I really appreciated going through all of this, and I know this episode is going to be really scatty and really kind of here, there, everywhere, but this is because literally this is all happening.
This is happening now, as we speak. Literally,
this is what, Tuesday night. This is happening. Like,
and just to say, I've just read here, just to add to this, I've just read that the Man United and owners, the Glazers, are now contemplating selling the club. Which, if that's the case, that is monumental, because they've been through hell at Manchester United. And if that's the case with them, I don't know what Kroenke's saying at Arsenal. You know, I don't know what Levy's thinking at Tottenham. I don't know what the Liverpool owners are thinking. But yeah, just that has literally come through on my phone as we're talking here. So yeah,
I've just seen a tweet as well. Jordan Henderson has said, "We don't like it. We don't want it to happen. This is our collective position. Our commitment to this football club and its supporters is absolute and unconditional." So it seems like the Liverpool players are.
I feel like I'm on TalkSport here, mate.
There we go, mate. This is like, yeah, you should get like a Mark Goldbridge on or something. But but yeah, where this starts to feel real was the Jose Mourinho yesterday.
Yeah.
And for those who don't know, Jose Mourinho was manager of Tottenham. And what happened was, allegedly, it's not been confirmed really anywhere significant from what I can understand. It's part of the rumour mill that he, as the news broke on Sunday, they had training Monday morning. And from what it looked like, he refused to take the players out for training on Monday morning as a result of this news. He then got in a massive argument with, I think it was Daniel Levy, the chairman, and was like, "This is bullshit. Don't want anything to do with this." And then ended up resigning, being relieved of his duties, as they called it. But it was a case of, "I'm out, I'm done." And for those who don't know Jose Mourinho, he is one of, if in the last 20 years, you have a shortlist, he's in the top three managers of the last 20 years for what he's won, what he's done. Unbelievable person in football. And for someone like him to decide, "You know what, I'm out, I'm done with this, this is nonsense," that's where, for me, it started to become real and started to become an actual thing. But I saw like different managers quoting and different being like, "Core, not really saying explicitly, but being like, this is a discussion for the owners. This isn't me, this isn't our views, this is the owners' views." And I thought that was really really interesting.
When you've got Jurgen Klopp coming out in a pre-match interview, basically, complete, maybe not quite explicitly but effectively completely disagreeing with the whole principle of the idea of what his owners have basically put him in and put his club in, that's when you realise this is absolutely wrong on so many levels, you know. And, you know, when you've got the, Jurgen Klopp is again, for people that don't know, he is like, he's absolutely transformed Liverpool in about 3-4 years, you know. They've always been a big club, I'm not disputing that, but they've struggled.
Where they were to now, definitely.
Exactly, you know. They've been high, they've gone low again, and he's absolutely, you know, transformed them in the recent future. And for him to completely go against what his owners are saying and doing, people that he's probably got a good relationship with, you can see that it's fundamentally wrong, it's fundamentally flawed, the ideas are wrong, and the way they've gone about it is wrong.
100%. And I've as you've been talking, I'm still flicking through, yes, waiting for some sort of news to come out. But what I want to think about is the next steps for these clubs. Like we've mentioned earlier, the clubs, even if they pull out, what is the sanction? And I'm curious to hear, if you've thought about it at all, what you think your sanction would be for these clubs that are involved.
This is really a tricky area because if you'd have asked me this 3 hours ago, I would be saying something slightly different to what I'm saying now. I would have said, initially, you've got to punish the club, you've got to punish the players, you've got to punish every single person inside that team. You've got to take everything, because by doing that, you will hurt the owners kind of indirectly. And the owners are the people you need to get to ultimately. They're the people that need to be punished ultimately. But I think you've got to sort of... So let me explain. So there's been a lot of talk about banning players from playing international football. A lot of people have said that's very unfair. The players being punished for a decision they completely didn't make, which, again, I totally agree with, and it's unjust and it's not fair, but it had to happen, or it had to be pushed or set. And I don't think we're really going to find out now if it would have happened or not, because I think it's not collapsed yet, but it's on its way down. But it had to happen, because if you stop the players playing international football, then they are being directly affected by it. Therefore, they have to make a stand. They have to declare a position. They have to say, I'm either for this league and forget the internationals, or this is what I'm about. This is my career. This is what I dreamt of. Yes, the money's fantastic as well. I earn enough money as it is. I want to represent my country. I want to fight to represent my country. And I want to fight to play in the Champions League. Yes, I want to play European football. Yes, I want to play Real Madrid. Yes, I want to play Barcelona. But more than wanting to play them, I want to earn that right. And by banning them from playing international football, they had to declare a position. They had to go to their owners, which I think is what's happened from what I've seen. Luke Shaw, Harry Maguire, Man United players have absolutely hammered Ed Woodward, and I hope he's been absolutely lambasted because of other reasons unconnected to this, as well as this. He must have been. And I hope it happens with everyone else at other clubs as well, in terms of their players. But they have to declare their position on where they wanted to go. If the players and the coaching staff and the backroom staff, if every single one of them, every single one of these teams refuses to do their job, there is nothing, in my opinion, that these owners could do about it. Now, yes, they might be in breach of contract. Yes, I don't know the legalities behind it. Yes, they're probably going to get in a lot of trouble. But let me assure you now, they would have been backed by every single football person on the planet. Not this country, on the planet. Because what was being, as I say, what was being put out there was so wrong and so... And I don't want to be overdramatic here, but I cannot explain to you how much of an attack this is on the game, on what makes our game so fantastic. And by getting back to your point about, you know, what sanctions should come in place, you had to hurt the owners, but I think if the players refuse to play, this whole league don't work. And not only does this league not work, but if the players refuse to play in the Premier League, if the people refuse to put their work the social media accounts or whatever, the whole thing falls down. So now that's probably not going to happen. What do I think should happen now long term? Well, firstly, it's important to say that right now this ESL has not disbanded completely. Yes, I know we've said it's falling down, but you know, there's still teams in it. Just because Ed Woodward resigned doesn't mean Man United are out of it. And I hope they do come out of it. Tottenham, I haven't heard a peep out of. Arsenal have got off so scot-free out of this, I think. Those two clubs in England, they no one said a word about them. Whatever happens to this league, whether it happens or not, I will not be satisfied until every person, whether it be the owners or the chairman or whoever, basically whoever made the decision to sign up to this league, whoever's signature is on that dotted line, until they're out of football, and like I say, until they've got a set flatter style ban, personally, I don't think any punishment would be enough. I'm not a lawyer, and I don't know everything about the laws of the game and exactly where it all works. But if I could criminalise this, or if I could find some way to put these people in front of a court to say what they've done is wrong because of the way they've done it, I'd put them in jail, mate. But I don't want to be too extreme. But I'd put them in jail.
See, this is where I think going into this league, this decision to put this league together was not done on a whim. This is months.
This has been planned.
Of preparation. This is legally, these clubs have got the best legal teams in world football, and even in often world organisations. This has been thoroughly thought out. So when they get to a point now, it almost seems like for me, they would never have got into this if there were any legal repercussions that could come as a result. I think they've done it. They've done it in a way where they can get it. They can almost exit without maybe paying a fine and a slap on the wrists legally. But I think morally, and I think to stop this, if it does disband, for example, if to stop it happening again, there has got to be, for me, especially on the owners, if the clubs have to get it as a second wave of it, I mean, it would deter people from doing it. But the owners need to face some sort of sanction. They have to, whether it's financially, whether it's anything like a ban, maybe a complete right out you get of the, like you're banned from working within these leagues. Working in football, like a worldwide football ban, because like I said, like you hurt the owners firstly by hurting their pockets, and you hurt them by hurting their pockets, you hurt businesses by hurting their pockets. But I do believe, I really do feel it's harsh, but these clubs, as the owners are representatives of these clubs, they have to face some sort of sanction, whether it's a point deduction, whether it's a European ban for a year, whether it's anything like that. I feel it's difficult, it's harsh, but it seems you can't all of a sudden as a club up and go, right, we're off, goodbye. I know the owner's probably the one that's done it, but then just like, oh, sorry guys, I'm back. And then nothing happened. I think something has to happen to these clubs.
100%. And this is actually one thing that I think is worth pointing out is, I think there could be other reasons as well, but I think there's no coincidence that Chelsea and Manchester City are the first team to drop out publicly, or to attempt, they haven't dropped out in a minute, to attempt to drop out, because Florentino Perez said last night that it's not possible to drop out. Let's not forget, these two teams have a Champions League semi-final next week. Yeah?
Yeah.
Chelsea have won the Champions League once. Man City this is the best they've ever done. Is it a case of they've been threatened, they've had a chat with UEFA, and they have said they're going to kick you out? Because I've heard that they said they're going to
kick
out of this year's Champions League. Have they gone, ooh, well, we're going to be kicked out of the Champions League, we're in a lot of trouble, and in terms of with our fans, is this worth it? Should we just run now and pretend like it never happened? That cannot happen. That absolutely cannot happen. And I was saying this as soon as it happened. I said, whatever happens from now on in, the people who tried to make this happen have to go first and foremost. But the clubs, to some extent, have to be punished, because, as you say, I think it's very harsh, but they tried. It tried to happen, and I think it will make an example that this cannot happen again. And I think it will. I think it will change the game in future ownership. I think the way future ownership. I think, you know, the leagues, by making an example, not anybody can just come in and do whatever they want. They're going to have to follow some rules, and people will know, well, look, this is the consequence to your actions. And we can't just pretend this has not happened.
Yeah, like, this can't be swept under the carpet. No,
there's absolutely no chance, because they tried to make it happen. And the fact they tried, and they would have made it happen. The only reason they haven't is because the whole football community. Let's just say another thing. If it wasn't these clubs, if it was, yes, maybe Man United and Arsenal and, I don't know, maybe Chelsea, but then you threw in like an Everton and maybe a Wolves and maybe
throw in like Leicester.
Yeah. Like teams that maybe aren't quite as powerful, would all the fans have monopolised and come together in the way that they have? Or would we have a split in the fans of the clubs that aren't involved? So the Liverpools or whoever, I can't remember exactly who I just said, but basically the opposite,
yeah.
The teams that aren't involved, where we would say, well, hang on a minute, no, you've done this, you need to be punished now, we didn't try and get involved. And all of a sudden we've got a split. Every club has to be punished. Every single club involved has to be punished. It's tricky because you've got clubs in different countries and they have different legislations and things like that, which is where UEFA need to come in and punish as they can. And I think they are looking into it. But I think at the same time, Alexander Seferin, the UEFA president, has come out today and offered an olive branch before they come out of it and said, look, people make mistakes.
This is your chance, your one and only chance to...
Yeah.
But... There still has to be some sort of repercussion.
100%.
And I think it just because if people can just go, oh, sorry, didn't mean it. And everyone goes, okay, fair enough. Then 2 years' time when they've solidified it and go, right, bye then, we're off for real this time. And there'll be nothing people can do about it. If they've tied up all the loose ends they need to.
Yeah.
If you go to them, right, here you go. Whatever they forfeit their TV money for the season, or they forfeit their prize money for the season, or they forfeit... something, or this, they start next season with a points deduction or something. I don't know. I don't know how you could do it, but I think there just has, just because of the audacity during a season to try and go, right, we're off. We're going to organise this for the start of next season. We're gone. I think there has to be something has to come down on these.
Just to say as well, you know, Manchester United and Liverpool. I'm going to say both of them rather than getting into a debate about who's the biggest club in this country. But those two teams are the biggest teams in this country. If you make an example of them and you hang them up and you say, you can be punished, you will be punished, and you should be punished.
Yeah,
I'm a Man United fan.
Yeah.
No one is bigger than the game in this country. And before I'm a Man United fan, I'm a football fan. And that is why I was so passionate about this and so passionately against this. Because if you can make an example out of these teams and you can show them that you can't just do what you want to do when you want to do it, you can't just run things like, you don't run it. You have the Premier League run the league, you know, the FA run how football works. You have a say, but you don't make the decisions. And if you make an example of them, then it will make anybody in the future, any future owner that wants to test the waters, seriously, seriously think twice.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's where this has stemmed from, is these clubs have become so powerful and they've become almost so untouchable, it seems, that they can go, you know what, like, cool, we don't need the Premier League anymore. We don't need the Champions League anymore. We'll do our own thing. And that's where, because there's been no kind of like the example, this it was almost about to turn to like bedtime. So it was almost about to turn to, it looked like it'd be like the NFL, where they'd have these top teams from around Europe. The other leagues are just developmental leagues for where these teams might pick up a couple players.
I'm just waving at you here. Manchester United have made an official club statement. Ed Woodward to leave Real at the end of 2021. This is an official club statement on Man United's website. So,
breaking news.
Yeah. That's quite good, actually. Is that a little soundbite you got?
There you go. That's a voice after a long day of meetings and EDA. But but I think, yeah, I just think now making an example of these big untouchable clubs and going, look, this ain't happening for the sake of the other 84 clubs in England, for example, professional clubs in England, and the hundreds of clubs around the world that these decisions directly affect. God, mate, I need to go to bed at some point. But I think they have to, someone has to cut someone somewhere, or they have to collectively come down and go, look, you lot, you're Donald Ducked. You're for this season, next season, either or, you have to go, you have to feel consequences, even if the players have to take a hit because their club is deducted how many points, or the club is fined however many. It is what it is. It's shit, I get it, but something has to happen. And I just think something has to happen.
Yeah, I mean, so one thing I would say is, you know, Oliver Dowden, the culture secretary, has come out and said today, you know, they're looking at getting a regulator in or doing an independent review or something. Boris Johnson's held a load of meetings. Keir Starmer's held a load of meetings. And I saw Steve Parish, the Crystal Palace chairman, say yesterday that nobody's managed to unite like Emmanuel Macron, Keir Starmer, Boris Johnson in the way that this has. And you know, that it's so true. And I think one thing, the good that has come out of this, I don't think it's ever good when politics starts getting involved in sport, and I don't want this to start becoming a competition, a popularity competition for the Labour Party or for the Conservative Party, because that is not what this, that's not what it needs either. But if we could get a regulator in, and you know, we could have some proper governance of football in this country, then I don't think that's going to do anything harm. And we can come out of this better than we went into it, like 100%. And another thing, I think by punishing the players to an extent, and I don't mean going out and saying all you players are fine, because they have no say in it, and I really sympathise with them, but ultimately they represent their club.
Yeah.
But by doing this, or by threatening it, these players in the future they're not just going to turn up and take a paycheck. You know, they earn a lot of money and they are role models for a lot of people in this world, and maybe they'll think twice, you know, they'll think twice about the ethics behind decisions that they make as a result of this, and they'll take more interest in what's going on behind the scenes in their club. You know, they're not just turning up, kicking a ball for 90 minutes, going home and training. They're more than that. And I think, you know, one thing that I called for yesterday, not that I don't think he was going to listen to me, but I said, I come out and said, you know, that, come out and said, I said to someone,
yeah, made a press conference.
that the people that I think needed to head this up were David Beckham and Marcus Rashford, because they're respected globally. They've done a lot of good, and I think they can make a difference. Now, thankfully, it hasn't come to that, or it appears so, but I think we can come out of this better than we went into it. I think players can take more responsibility, staff can take more responsibility, and there needs to be more transparency. You know, if these owners had not put their greed before anything else, then they had some valid points. You know, the Champions League isn't perfect, and I'm not trying to claim that it is. UEFA isn't perfect, FIFA isn't perfect. But if they'd have communicated this with fans, and I've just got breaking news coming up on my... Manchester City have confirmed that they have formally enacted the procedures to withdraw from the European Super League. That's breaking news just come up on my screen. If these things had been done properly and communications had been you know, put in place, and they'd have actually spoken to the players and got an idea of what they think, and then the players had agreed to it, we'd be in a whole different position. But I think it is very important to say as well on this, sort of going slightly off track a little bit, is to be fair, I can't remember if it was you I was speaking to earlier about this, but the European Super League, if they'd have done that as a pre-season tournament, they could have the best of both worlds, because you could keep the Champions League, improve the Champions League, still have the Premier League, all of that stays as it is, but you get these clubs come together and the lot of them, the 12 of them, plus five every year or whatever, forget your Audi Cups, forget all that, Emirates Cups and all that.
Yeah, your Ibiza Cups.
go and do European Super League as a pre-season tournament in China 1 year, in Australia the next year, in Singapore the next year, in America the next year, in Brazil the next year. And yes, it might not make £400 billion, whatever they want to make that it was going to make, but it's still going to make a hell of a lot on top of their Champions League money. You don't have to leave the Champions League. On top of their Premier League money. And the fans in these countries would jump all over it.
Especially the Asian and that sort of market. Is like 100%. In China and in Singapore and in
it's a huge market. And the fans in this country won't mind so much, because who cares about preseason anyway? This would make preseason interesting. You know, what I'm trying to say is, if they'd have come out and done things the right way, we could have worked a way of making this work. You know, I'm not saying the preseason tournament is the answer. It was just something that came into my head, where you could keep everything else and it would still be commercially brilliant.
Yeah.
Because they still make a hell of a load of money off merchandise. They would still, even if they'd done TV rights on it, you know, they would still make a lot of money.
I just had a thought there, actually, just as you were saying that. I think you could even incentivize a Super League by having your Champions League winners, your Europa League winners, maybe do every 5 years. I don't know. Whoever gets in the final of the Champions League, the two teams, you both get an entry into our Super League tournament. Next year, next two finalists, you both get an entry into our Super League tournament. And once every 5 years, or however long, you have this massive winner-takes-all knockout tournament, whatever. I don't know how it would work or when it would work, where you put stupid money on the line. Well done, you've won the Champions League. You get to be part of this tournament that is now the winner takes all. The analogy I can think of is WWE. This is like the King of the Ring of WWE, of Champions League football. And you have the winner takes all. Winning club wins €200 million or however, whatever money you want to put it in. And market it however much you want, but it's a result of you earn the right to be there. You don't buy your way in, which I think is another long ass discussion about earning and whatever that we won't get into. But I think that might be a way, but I don't know. But one thing I wanted just to mention real quick, why this is a big deal and why the hopeful complete destruction of this is a big deal and how it affects everyone else. And I think this is where, with these, I'm going to use England as the example. I know people, if anyone's listening from other places, how it affects your leagues, I'm not too sure, but the Premier League and the Football League in general, it'll affect these clubs. If the six most marketable commercial teams from the Premier League left and made their own thing, all or most of the money that goes into the TV rights, into the sponsorships, will go with them, because they're the teams that people want to see from around the world. No offence to Brighton or to Burnley, but you're not getting over Man United versus Man City on a Sunday afternoon. You're not. It's just not happening. That then falls down into the leagues below. The money is less at the top, so the money that gets filtered down is less and less. It's not a lot anyway, because the top clubs have strangleheld there's a whole thing. I was chatting to one of the people at the club yesterday, and they were saying about the other 14 Premier League clubs who have had the meeting about what they think about the Super League. But these clubs and a portion of the Championship clubs have this they have these meetings and these discussions to decide what the fate is of everything else from the Championship down. So often it benefits the clubs that are in the Premier League and the Championship clubs who are floating between the two, because they tend to be the ones who are affected by the money. Like when the team gets relegated from the Premier League, because of the amount of money that is made in the Premier League and the difference between the Premier League and the Championship, I think that what they do is they get parachute payments. So for 3 years, they get the TV money for a season split over 3 years so they can be sustainable and not go pop as a club. But this doesn't happen further down you go. So often the teams at the bottom end, like I found Gary Neville talking about it earlier. The teams that are in League One and League Two who are earning probably 30 grand a year from football, 40 grand a year from football, have been put on furlough because their club can't afford to pay them their full wage. And you look at before the Super League, the Premier League clubs are earning, players are earning 5-10 million pounds a year, and still clubs like Liverpool and Tottenham are furloughing their staff and are taking the piss in terms of the different schemes that are going on. But that's a whole other discussion that we won't get into. But I think hopefully now, and as scatty as this point has been, because I've kind of lost my train of thought, I think that hopefully going forward, like you mentioned, Dan, earlier about going forward and trying to come out stronger from this situation, I think it's so important that we're able to, it's not just about these top six teams who have decided to go and try and do their own thing. This is also about the other 84 teams who were in maybe 5 years' time, 10 years' time, if this was going ahead or if this might go ahead. These might not exist. Some of these teams might not even exist in 5-10 years because as a result of the actions of this. And now I feel, from being at a club within the Football League, I think it's now a point where there's got to be things in place to support further down, whether these sort of things happen and if they happen again or whatever. I think there's got to now be things in place to, I'm just getting texts come through as well. It's Rishi. but yeah, there's got to be things in place to support these clubs lower down should the money and the marketable teams go and disappear, which I think hopefully doesn't happen anymore.
Sorry man, I'm just reading this. Rishi wants a shout out, so big up to Rishi.
There you go, Rish Dog. There we go,
there you go, son. There's your shout out, mate. But yes, mate, no, and you make some valid points, and like I said, mate, we honestly, I could sit here for hours. You could do a six, honestly, I could sit here and do a six episode series about different avenues and different angles to look at this, positive, negative and indifferent. But I think what you're saying is, and it's an important point, is that's probably why I felt massively passionate about it, because I love football, and you know, obviously I've worked in football. Football, for all intents and purposes, is a large part of my life. And what makes it brilliant is that from top to bottom in this country, I love it, and in Europe as well. And we can improve the way it is, because it's not perfect, as I keep saying, it's not perfect. And if this doesn't highlight it, I don't know what does. But I think the money would have been gone if this had happened, and these people, Florentino Perez, Ed Woodward, just because they're the names that come to mind at the forefront of it. I don't know the Juventus' chairman's name, but him as well. They're trying to say that there would have been solidarity payments to go back into football, and this would have benefited football. It wouldn't. Absolutely wouldn't, because any player that played in the ES in the European Super League would not have been able to play in any other game, any other league, any other division. So where is the kind of the foundations that what they spoke? So basically, what you're trying to say is, or what they're trying to say is, effectively, that you go through the grassroots system, you join an academy, you join a club, you play for, at the pinnacle, Leicester City, Everton maybe, and then you forget all of that, you forget any dream or aspiration you had of playing in the World Cup, which I do not care. Anybody that listens to this, come for me if you disagree. That is the be-all and end-all in football, the World Cup. Absolutely the be-all and end-all of any and everything.
If you were a player, if I was a player, I would die to play in the World Cup.
And you... So basically, that is where you get to. And then you have to kiss all of that goodbye to play in the Super League. So basically, you're working your backside off to leave the system that's got you there in the first place to play for another system that doesn't help or support that system. Mate, we could sit here for hours, but the solidarity payments that I believe that they were basically trying to basically just appease people with, saying, I don't believe a word they were saying about any money that they would have given. I don't believe it one bit. And just on another point, just because I think this should be mentioned here, and I don't want this to be an afterthought at all, I had an interview earlier with the Lou, excuse my pronunciation, but the Lewes or the Lewes, like L-E-W-E-S.
Lewes, yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think it's Lewes, yeah.
They, for those of you that don't know, they have a completely equal policy in their football club of the men get paid the same as the women. Yes, I know they're a lot lower down the system, but the budgets are the same, marketing is the same, everything is equal. And she made a really good point that at the bottom of their statement, they said, oh, and when we've got time for it, basically, we'll make a women's Super League as well. The point I'm getting at here is they'd obviously thought about all these little issues, you know, these little questions, these little things that were going to come up about the game, about the improvement of the game, about the integrity of the game. But first and foremost, all they were worried about was getting their money in their pockets, increasing their wealth. Man United owners, and again, I'm going to go on about Man United because I know about Man United, because I support Man United. They've got the wealthiest, bar Real Madrid, maybe Barcelona, they've got the wealthiest, definitely the wealthiest team in England, but the wealthiest team in the world,
yeah,
or the most valuable team in the world. And they just want more. And
it's it.
And
greed,
that's what it was about. And it was just disgusting. And getting them out of my club, I'll tell you that now. And get Kroenke out of Arsenal, Daniel Levy out of Tottenham, Florentino Perez out of Real Madrid,
get these scumbags out of it.
Get a lot of them out.
Just as you were talking, Liverpool's sponsor has withdrawn from partnership with the club. Travis Watches have withdrawn from their partnership with the club due to its involvement in the Super League. So,
mate,
they're the first, I think, of a lot who have.
And that is actually a point that I was going to actually make, where if we'd recorded this 3 hours ago, people were saying, you know, we've got to boycott it. The fans have got to boycott the games and not pay the subscriptions and not get the merchandise because that will hurt them. Not only that, I was going to say, yes, the pundits have got to come together. Yes, the fans have got to come together. Yes, the players have got to come together. The sponsors as well.
Yeah.
That is what would hurt these people big time. So I'm really, for me, I think that's really encouraging to hear. And I would implore other sponsors to do it as well.
And hopefully that's the first of many.
And hopefully it teaches some lessons, mate, big time.
Yeah, that's the thing of coming out of it. That's the thing with all of these experiences, they're all lessons, whether big or small. And I think that this experience, I say experience, this moment in footballing history will go to teach people, I think, about the often ignorance of thinking everything's all right when you've got so much money at stake. I think it also teaches you about the balancing act of power that's in the game and that's in the sport, through the governing bodies who haven't been angels in any way, shape or form in the last 20-30 years. There's a whole other avenue to go that way in terms of all of the nonsense FIFA and UEFA officials have got up to in terms of these clubs. A lot of it is why everyone falls in love with football is the game and the integrity of the game. And it seems like now, and it seems like all of this has become about control. And it's become about controlling all the money and the power and the where it's going to go and what avenues it's going to go down. And I think that's where, from where the game, the game, especially in England, and I think it was, well, where it originated, was from people in local communities putting together social clubs and putting together teams to play within the community and represent the community. That's, and like with all these like working men's clubs going, let's put a team together and we'll see how it goes. And all these owners, so this is from, I'm kind of paraphrasing a little bit from James Corden earlier, who I listened to, who he made really good points about it, to be fair to him. I thought he'd be chatting rubbish, but to be fair, he was fantastic.
He made
some very, very really valid points. And like, these owners often haven't got Scooby-Doo as to the foundations and what organizations they are now that they've got themselves into. They've just seen, oh, that makes a lot of money. I'll tell you what I could do to make it make more money. That's become what it is now. It's become a revenue stream, especially Arsenal and other clubs, obviously. But what's been forgotten about is the kid who's going up the steps to watch his first game. In the Super League, that doesn't happen, because that's going to be, tickets going to be astronomical to get into these games. You're forgetting about the old lady on the turnstile who's been working there for 60 years. You're forgetting about the family who gets to reunite on a Saturday to go and watch a game. These things with a formation of a Super League, those moments and those sentimental things that football has brought everyone will disappear. With whether it be now, it'll be within 5 years, 10 years, it will go, and it'll disappear from every level of the professional game, at least, because the non-league game will just become park football again. But hopefully now, with this, from it looks like it's now falling apart a little bit, and these teams look like they're going to start dropping out left, right and centre, and that this doesn't happen for the sake of the future of football, I hope that we can take the lessons from this and see what evil money and the abusing of power and control can do, and it can result in this bullshit.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, it can. It really can. And it's I'm just glad it seems to be going the way that it seems to be going at the minute, because it could have gone very, very differently. And do you know what? Without everybody in this game coming together, the media, pundits, the fans, everyone, we wouldn't even be... We're less than 48 hours after they announced it. Less than 24 hours ago, Florentino Perez said it's absolutely irreversible and we're stuck for the next 23 years. Less than 24 hours later, it's falling apart. So you put a pressure on.
See, that's it. That's it. And then, in terms of this episode, in terms of thinking about this, from when you hear this, I'm going to put this out on the Wednesday, and it's just going to go out now, because I know if I leave it any longer, things will change and this will become irrelevant. But I think for the moment in time, I think it's important that this has been collected and this moment has been thought about and spoken about. And I think if I leave it any longer to a usual Friday slot, I think it's just going to be,
is going to keep progressing. This is going to keep progressing. And I think, you know, one thing to say, I'm just reading here, quotes on Ed Woodward, which I'll read after. But one thing I should just say here is we're not out of the mire here. This is not done. I don't know how Florentino Perez is going to react to these people leaving. I don't even know if they can leave. I don't know what it's going to cost financially, you know. But if Ed does leave United, you know, United's still bound to stay in this thing, because he could have made a decision. We don't want to be in it. He's left and left us in the mire, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, but you've got the two clubs who've confirmed they're trying to leave. You've still got 10 clubs who've not said anything.
You've got Tottenham who ain't said a word. You've got Arsenal who, oh my goodness, yeah. I can't even believe Arsenal. They haven't said a peep. You've got... I think Yeah. Liverpool
look like it. The players are very much, they've come out and said, look, we're not having this at all.
Yeah.
You've got Man United, who have been, with people resigning and things, has looked that way. Then the European clubs, like I think you said earlier about Barca and Atletico, seem... Real Madrid are going to stick this out to the end because of Florentino Perez.
He's the chairman of the whole thing. So.
Yeah, so they're last one out the door. And then the Italian clubs, I mean, the Italian clubs haven't exactly been angels over the last 20 years, especially Juventus. But so I don't know what they're going to do. But yeah, this is something that is just going to be ongoing. But I wanted to put something like this together just to... Because this is, I mean, within navigating life, for example, this is a part of our life.
And big time.
What we do and how in our day-to-day lives, this will hugely affect it. Maybe not immediately, but it will have an effect down the line somewhere. And I think it's important for people who might not be aware of it, maybe something just a bit more of a... I just edit out all my yawns or something that people can listen to and think, it's a bit less serious than hearing it on Sky News and people like talking about it depressingly, and people who have been keen on it and who have been keen on listening to it are listening and hearing about it. I think it's a good little place for maybe you might pick up some points you didn't think of, or it might stem some further arguments you might go into and have in your office and that. But that's the aim of this, really. Just, I know it sounded a bit like we've gone drive time on Sky Sports News, but I think that's exactly what this has been. This has been ongoing, and like we said, from when we started to now, like when we decided, and I texted Dan earlier about recording at about 4 o'clock, and this was a different story, and then at 7:30 things have completely changed, and now we're at 10 to 10 on a Tuesday night and things are still coming in. So,
and by the time people are listening to this, you know, we're probably going to have more news about more teams, more positions, more. It seems to be the thing with this Super League, that all the news from the actual Super League seems to be coming out at sort of late in the evening, so yeah. Probably by the time this has been recorded, But before it's been put out there, there's going to be more news coming from the league about, well, you can't do this or whatever. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, that's the thing. But I think in terms of time, I think we've been going for about nearly an hour and a half. So I think I'm conscious of wrapping it up and just what I'm literally going to do as we finish this is export it and edit it, put a little bit of a touch on it, edit it, and then upload it immediate, and then this will come out like 6 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Yeah, that's cool.
But firstly, my voice is like, I can feel it like croaking out on the way.
I'm not too bad, mate, but you've been shouting all day.
Cool. But mate, firstly, thanks for coming on and sharing your
pleasure, mate. Pleasure.
Your views and your opinions. We got you on finally.
I'm here for the Billy Nation, mate, for the Ready Nation.
The head of creative, Bosch.
Get that on a t-shirt, mate.
But for those listening, if you do want any further thoughts and opinions on these sort of subject matters, do let me know, because honestly, especially this area, this has stemmed about 9 or 10 different topics that we could go into about football, and especially with these podcasts and stuff, I want them to be talking. I talk to a lot of different people, but I could talk to different people about football way easier than talking to people about other things. So if this is something you're keen on, maybe it's something on the side that I can do, just let us know if you fancy it. If you enjoy it, please share it to a friend. I think if you enjoy it and you can share it to one friend, that'll mean a hell of a lot. But yeah, for the sake of time, I'm going to call it short here. Dan, mate, thank you again.
No worries, mate. Take care of yourself.
And to everyone else, I'll catch you later.